In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And St. Paul in Romans 3, "We hold that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are justified freely by His grace. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have joy, we have peace, we have salvation, we have freedom through faith in Jesus. This is really what Reformation Day is all about. We have the red pyramids. We have the banner that was made years ago about the three great principles of the Reformation, the three solas, which in Latin means alone, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. And all around the world, the Reformation is being celebrated this week. Now, it's true the actual day is October 31st, but we're celebrating it this Sunday, and Christians all around the world are celebrating this day. Now, a little historical introduction would be proper, and most of you know these details as we consider the significance of Christ reforming the church and reforming us. With his October 31st posting of the 95 Theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany in 1517, Martin Luther began a movement that he could never have imagined would result in a split from the Roman Catholic Church. And as we celebrate the Reformation today, this Sunday, we know that Luther wrote that the entire Christian life is one of repentance and faith, and that no papal indulgences could purchase anyone's soul from hell or an imaginary, non-existent, purgatory. He questioned the Pope's authority, and this was a very dangerous proposition in his day, and in time, he would be excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because as we learned, Luther directed the Church back to the written scriptures in the Old and New Testament as the inspired Word of God and the only place for doctrine and faith. Here alone can Christians know for certain what God's truth is. Here in Scripture alone can we say, "Thus saith the Lord." And in addition, the Scriptures does not teach work righteousness, which Rome taught under an oppressive system of indulgences and penance and masses. Instead, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in the once-for-all completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Luther discovered this essential truth, especially in the book of Romans. But it would be better to say that the truth discovered him, and the truth has discovered us. The unique work of the church, which Luther proclaimed and which true Christians proclaim today, was spoken in Revelation 14 today. The eternal gospel must be proclaimed to all the nations, to all who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And with a loud voice, we fear God and we give Him the glory, as we will sing in our closing hymn, "All Glory Be to God on High." Because the hour of judgment is coming, and we worship Him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea, because in Christ we have been accounted righteous, and we can stand holy and without blemish before the Lord on that judgment day. Salvation comes to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are justified freely by His grace. From the epistle and gospel lessons today, we focus on these three things. First of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Second, we are justified freely by His grace through faith in Christ. And third, how do we today hold to Jesus' disciples as real disciples of Him? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. St. Paul indicates when he says, the law was given to mankind, which the summary of which is the Ten Commandments, and the summary of those commandments are love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That law acts as a mirror. For we look at the law, I look at the law and see, I haven't loved God like I ought. I haven't loved my neighbor as I should. I've loved myself. And so the law makes us realize, as St. Paul says, we are under the law. There is no distinction. Every one of us are guilty when we look at the law. Every single one of us. For the whole world, Paul said, is held accountable to God. We cannot escape the searching eye of God who knows our sin and who holds us to account. Therefore, no one can be justified by the works of the law. The reason for that is, since we don't keep the law perfectly, we cannot be justified by it. Therefore, our righteousness has been manifested apart from the law, since we have no righteousness, because all have sinned, Paul said, and have fallen short of the glory of God. To sin means to miss the mark. If you've ever been in archery and have shot a bow and arrow, an arrow with a bow, and if you miss the target, you sinned. That's what the word sin means. It means to miss the target by a mile. There's God's perfect target, and you shoot at it, and you miss it by a mile because of your sins of thought, word, and deed. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. I used to be in shape, and I ran the quarter mile and the half mile and the mile. And if any of you have ever run a race, you know that it doesn't do you any good if you run the whole race, four laps around the track, and you fall 10 feet in front of the finish line. You have failed. You have fallen short of the finish line. That's a good picture of all of us. In the race of life, as we're running our laps, if you will, we all in the end fall short. We fall upon that cinder track, and we never make the finish line. Every last one of us never makes it. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is indeed what the law shows us, and we have to admit the law is right. The diagnosis of our hearts is correct. Then, where is salvation to be found is a fair question. Paul continues, therefore, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. If we have fallen short, the only way we can stand on that day is in the righteousness of Christ. Now, there are several pictures of this righteousness in this text, which I hope I'll explain briefly and not confuse anyone, that the righteousness of God has appeared in Christ. And what this righteousness means is that Jesus is righteous because He actively obeyed the law and kept it perfectly in our place. And then He passively obeyed the Father and allowed Himself to be nailed to the cross as if He was the worst sinner of all. He is the righteousness of God in human flesh. And through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, that righteousness becomes ours. We are justified by His grace as a gift. The word justified means to be declared righteous in the courtroom of God. God is the judge. You and I are the accused. Jesus is the defense attorney who steps into our place and says, I will take their punishment upon myself. The Father accepts His offer and declares us righteous without blemish and holy in His sight because the righteousness of Christ is given to us. And our sin is given to Him. That's what the word justified means. Declared righteous in the courtroom of God because of Christ's sacrifice in our place. Then Paul says we have the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word redemption means to be bought back by His blood. We were all slaves in the marketplace on the auction block. And Jesus went into the marketplace and says, I will redeem these people. I will buy them back, but not with silver and gold, but with my holy, precious, and innocent blood. He redeems us and buys us back. Paul continues, for the propitiation by His blood. The word propitiation is referring to when the priest went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood and over the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, and God saw the blood and forgave. They did that once a year. But Jesus' propitiation in His blood is that His blood was sprinkled over the mercy seat of the cross before God in the Holy of Holies of heaven. And God sees that propitiating blood and sees the blood and forgives those who are under that blood at His mercy seat. And this is received by faith. When you believe it was done for you, it's accounted to you as your righteousness. God takes the righteousness of Jesus and credits it not to your bank account, but the account of your life. And Christ's righteousness becomes yours, because in His divine forbearance, He passed over our former sins. Recall how the angel of death passed over the houses in Egypt, and because of the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost, He passed over them, and the firstborn were spared. But now in the firstborn Jesus, the true Passover Lamb of God, God has passed over our sin because He sees the blood on the cross, and we are covered by it, and He passes over our sin and accounts us righteous. It's amazing that God does this. He is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, so that you are justified by faith. This becomes yours when you believe it. If you don't believe it, it has no effect whatsoever on you. But by faith, when you believe it with all your heart that that was done for you, then you are covered, you are cleansed, you are forgiven in Christ. When you came to church this morning, you saw the Luther seal in the window that's up above the front door. Take a look at it when you go. And this is another one from my office. This describes and was designed by Luther so that you understand what I just talked about comes for you. The black cross in the center reminds us that Jesus died to take the punishment of our sins upon Himself. The red heart reminds us of the love of God in sending Jesus to be our Savior. And the red, of course, is the color of the blood of Jesus shed for us in our salvation. The white rose helps us to remember the work of the Holy Spirit, who makes us pure and holy in God's sight, gives us faith in Jesus, and enables us to live our lives for Him. The blue is for the sky, pictures the joy of the new life that God gives to all who believe and trust in Christ. And the gold ring on the outside reminds us of our eternal inheritance, a home in heaven where we enjoy joy and happiness in our Savior's presence, so that in the center of your heart is the cross and the assurance of your salvation. In view of that, then, how can we, as Jesus said, hold to His teaching and be real disciples and have truth that sets us free? Jesus said to those who believed in Him, and He says to us who believe in Him, who have been baptized in His name and have heard the words of absolution and are about to take His body and blood, abide in My word. Know it. Live it. Live in it. Believe it. Cling to His word, and you will be truly My disciples. You don't want to be a fake disciple. You want to be a real disciple because you know the truth, because the truth is Jesus in His flesh is truth, and the truth sets you free. What does it set you free from? First thing it sets you free from is yourself. and from sin and from death and hell. It gives you personal peace. There's a relief to knowing Jesus, that the burden is lifted and I have been set free. Jesus said everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and that's true. When we fall into unrepentant sin, we become a slave to that sin. It has a hold on us. But when we repent and we say, Jesus, take it away, break that ball and chain and remove the shackles, God's Son remains in the house forever. And when the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You are free from sin, death, and hell, and you have righteousness, life, and heaven. And everything that happens to you in your life, God is using to refine you for His purposes. Christians are the most joyful and free people of all because we know the truth in Christ, and that has set us free. My friends like Luther, like St. Paul, like St. John, and the Christian church of all the ages, we proclaim the law and the gospel. We administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We announce absolution. We pray for one another. We love one another. And we dedicate our lives to the mission work of God in His harvest field. We are called to be faithful unto Christ, even unto death. The day that Luther died, they found a piece of paper in his belongings. And it said, "This is true. We are all beggars." He understood that we are beggars who are here to receive the mercy of God as a gift. And in that is our joy and our peace. The end came quickly for Luther. He rested that day after some papers that he signed. And all of a sudden in the evening, his heart began to beat wildly. He was having a heart attack. His friends tried to comfort him. They bring him medications from his personal physician. He felt a little better, and then he went to bed. And he slept for a while. In the next room were his friends. And all of a sudden, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he woke up. "Oh, dear Lord God," he shouted, "my pain is so great. Oh, dear Dr. Jonas, I am certain I will remain here in the town of Eisleben and die where I was born and baptized." The whole crowd rushed in to comfort Luther, and Luther kept repeating to himself out loud John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," and repeated that over and over again. And Dr. Jonas knew what was happening. He broke in and asked Luther, "Do you want to die standing firm on Christ and the doctrine you've taught?" And he said with a loud voice, "Yes." It was about 3 a.m. Luther's heart burst and he died. Faithful to the truth he had been taught. Faithful to the proclamation of the gospel. And God calls us to that kind of faithfulness, even unto death. And so Reformation Day is not some historical event only. It's the reformation of you and me. That we will be frequent at the divine service and reception of the sacraments. That we'll be fervent in our daily devotions of word and prayer. And be here to study the word of God and have our children in Sunday school. And continue in the word of God that has set us free. And this is the proper way to remember this day. That having been justified freely by His grace through faith in Christ Jesus, you know the truth. And the truth has set you free to serve Him with joy until the day you and I die. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.